All right, take your Bibles, turn back with me to Galatians chapter 6. Our text we found in verse 6 through 10. I know that I'm not going to get there. I don't hold any. I never do. So, barring a miracle of grace, I guess, but we'll see what the Lord provides. Let's read this passage together. I'm going to title this message, Sowing Saints. Sowing Saints. He's continuing with that theme of the agriculture, the fruit of the Spirit. And now he's talking about sowing. Now, this is what he says in verse 6. He says, Let him that is taught in the Word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them that are of the household faith. Now remember, the apostle is speaking to those who profess to believe on Jesus Christ. He calls them in verse 1, brethren. He exhorts us who are brethren to know our warfare, to remember that we have in each one of us a struggle, a constant warfare of the flesh and of the Spirit. And therefore, he exhorts us to walk after the Spirit. We that are given life by the Spirit, is it not feasible then that we should walk in the Spirit? We should walk looking to Christ, constantly, steadily looking to Jesus Christ. And those who walk by faith shall have the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. All who have the fruit of the Spirit are going to manifest this fruit. They're going to manifest the fruit. Love, joy, peace. All of these, you believer, you have all of these fruits. And they're not worked up by you. They're worked in you. And then they're what? Produced out of you. What good is a fruit if the tree keeps it inside? It's no good to anyone, is it? But the fruit of the Spirit is always something that comes out of the believer, because this is what God the Spirit has put in us. So if we have any love, it is the work of the Spirit. If we have any joy, it is the work of the Spirit. If we have any peace, it is the work of the Spirit. All of these fruits. And then he begins in chapter 6, brethren, he talks about restoring. This is what? This is the manifestation of those fruits, isn't it? When one is fallen, what is the manifestation of love? It is the desire that this one who is fallen be restored. That's what it is to love. It's to restore our brother. And not only restore him when he comes in, bearing his guilt, bearing his shame, what do we do? Do we press down on him? Do we make sure he's felt it good enough? Has he hurt enough? Well, Lord, we're going to make sure he's hurt enough. No, that's not what we do. We bear under him. We bear under his guilt with it. And how do we do that? You do that by pointing him to this. Pointing to this verse. There is therefore now no condemnation. Those are in Christ Jesus. You feel condemned? You feel condemned? Well, listen to this. There's therefore right now No condemnation, those are in Christ Jesus. You bear under that burden with Him. Not just His spiritual burden, but physical burdens. Anything that they have that have need of, bear under with it. And all who walk in the Spirit, this is one of the fruits of it, is that we are going to consider ourselves. When we restore someone, we're going to always consider that we are just as vile as that person. By nature, we are no different from them. We will consider ourselves. We consider our own nature. We are brought low and made to see that it's God's grace that makes us to differ in any way. Who maketh thee to differ from another? Isn't that what Paul said? And what hast thou hast not received? Name one thing you have that you haven't received. You that have been faithful. Your faithfulness, did you receive that or did you earn that? You received it. And he said, if you received it, then why in the world do you act like you did? You act like you earned it. Why do you act like you earned it? And all who walk by faith will have a heart of meekness to restore their brethren in this way. They will consider themselves. Therefore, we should never seek as the legalist to exalt ourselves by looking down on our brother. We must not ever judge our spiritual state and standing by comparing ourselves to each other. That's a major error to look around you and compare yourself to someone else. Listen, if you want to find somebody lower than you, you can look right here. You watch me enough. You can ask my children. They'll tell you. They know more of my faults than you. You want to find somebody lower, here's one right here. That won't do you no good. It won't do you no good. We don't compare ourselves with others. And in verse 6, the apostle now speaks to those who are taught. He says this in verse 6, let him that is taught in word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Now, he says, let him that is taught, remember, this brings to mind that we have not come to the knowledge of the gospel on our own. We were taught. We were taught. We have not learned the gospel, nor have we known God by the merits of our flesh. The Word of God is clear in this, that no man by nature knows God. This is against what religion is telling people, that all men know God. Listen, all men know there is a God. They don't know who He is. They know He's all powerful. They just don't know how to appease Him. Listen what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He says, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Now why? Why is it? I'm sitting here preaching salvation to the soul. I'm preaching that Christ has come to give eternal life to anyone who believes. Whosoever believeth on Him shall be saved. He that believeth on Him and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Isn't that a great message to someone who needs to be saved? Anyone need to be saved? And yet, why do men reject this message? Here it is, for it is foolishness unto them. It's foolishness. The gospel of salvation by grace is foolish. Salvation by works is logical to them. Salvation by merit is just reasonable to the natural mind. But salvation by grace requiring nothing from you is illogical to them. It's foolishness. Now listen to this. Neither can he know them. There was a time when I thought I was a good teacher. I knew the gospel backward and forward. Surely I can get someone. And I would sit there and I'm blue in the face. And this was so plain and simple to me. And I just couldn't understand why I didn't get it. He can't. He can't know it. Why? Listen, why? Because he's already judged. He's condemned. He's already spiritually discerned. The word discerned means judge. Judgment has come. Condemnation has come. And God said this, in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And we know this, wherefore, as by one man sin entered in the world, and death by sin. What? So death passed upon all men. This is why no man can know it. I'll give you an illustration. I don't think there's a greater illustration of this inability of man than John 6. John chapter 6, you remember the Lord fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves of bread. Took 5 pieces of bread and passed it out and fed 5,000 men beside the women and children. Conservative estimate, at least 10,000 people. And this, they took up fragments after it was over. They ate until their bellies were about to pop, and they took leftovers. And they said, man, I want this guy to be my king. And so he, middle of the night, Lord said, hey, boys, get in the boat. We're going over to sea. And he said, what in the world? This is a good start, Lord. No, don't worry about them. We're going over here. And he left them. And they took passage. They cared enough that they even paid their boat fare to get across to go see him. And they said, Lord, why'd you leave us? And the Lord began to preach to them. He said, I left you because all you care about is the physical bread. It's all you want. You don't care about me. You don't know anything about me. And he said, this bread you ate, it's going to go in, it's going to go out, and you're going to want more of it. Then he began to preach to them about him. He said, I am the bread of life. Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood shall never hunger and never thirst. And they didn't understand. Matter of fact, they rejected his message. They hated his message. Now wait a second. This man fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves of bread, and you're going to reject him? They did. And that's what Jesus knew that the apostles were unaware. In John 6, he said this, no man can come to me. This is a plain and very simple truth. You don't need to be a theologian to understand those words. Ask the question, who can come to Christ? Jesus said, no man can come to me except. This is the glory of the gospel, isn't it? A divine exception. Why? Because you've come, haven't you? You that believe, you've come. How is it that you've come? You've come because God hath made an exception. Except the Father which has sent me, draw him. As it is written, this ends all debate, as it is written in the prophets, they shall all be taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father, listen what they do. They come to me. You that have come to Christ, who taught you? Who taught you you were a sinner? Who taught you that you needed a Savior? And who taught you that Jesus Christ is the only acceptable Savior? Who taught you that? And when you learn that, there was nothing else you could do but come to Him. You did come, didn't you? You came. Why? You were taught. You were taught. We have believed on Him. We have not forsaken Him. We gladly profess, as Peter, we believe that Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. How did we do this? By the grace and power of God. You have been taught of God. Ephesians 2 and verse 8 says, "For by grace you are saved." How are you saved? You're saved by grace. Through faith. Never apart from faith. No one is saved without faith. No one is saved without coming to Christ. Through faith. And that faith is not of yourself. It, faith, is a gift of God and not of works. Why? Because you'd brag about it. If faith came from you, you'd brag about it. You'd have something to boast over your other fellow man. But you don't, do you? You were taught of God by grace. It was by the sovereign power of the Holy Spirit that you were quickened to spiritual life and faith. He alone gave us power and will to believe. John says, "As many as received Him, to them gave He the right to become the sons of God." Now, how did they receive Him? Which were born. In order to receive Him, you got to be born. Not of blood. You're not going to be saved because your parents are saved. Nope. Nor of the will of the flesh. You're not going to be saved because you willed to be saved. Now be born again by your will. Nor the will of some other man, but of God. Remember over in Matthew 16, when Peter made that statement, he said, "We believe Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And he said, "Listen, blessed art Thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, son of Jonah." Why? "For flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee." You say those words with Peter? "We know and believe that Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." You know that? Is that something that's flippant knowledge, or is that concrete? Do you really know that? You know that. Listen, it is God who taught you that. God who taught you that. "For my Father which in heaven has taught you." And so it is with all who believe on Jesus Christ. But now that we have been taught, what was the means that God used? When God taught you and you came to Christ, by what means did God communicate His message to you? We know according to the Word of God that the only means that God communicates His message is through the preaching of the gospel. The preaching of the gospel. You see, God sends a man just like you. He sends a man who was born in sin, who was dead in trespasses and sins. And He teaches that man by the gospel from somewhere else. Somebody else taught him the gospel, preached the gospel to him, and he believed. And then God sends him to declare the message of His grace to you. He sends a man who has himself been taught, and he preaches the gospel, and it is through this that God communicates His gospel. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. So when Paul says, "You that are taught, How are you taught? You're taught of God, first of all. We know that. It's of God. And the means that God is using to teach us is what? The preaching of the gospel. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 17, Paul said, "For Christ sent me not to baptize." And we just had a baptismal service, and it was wonderful, wasn't it? I enjoyed that. That was great. Wonderful. That's what God commands. He commands us to be baptized. If you believe on Lord Jesus Christ, you should be baptized in obedience. But that's not really why I'm here. That's not my main purpose here. Christ sent me not to baptize, but to what? Preach the gospel. Now, how do you do this? Not with wisdom of words. You don't do this in my own wisdom. I don't give you... How many times I give you my opinion here? What good is my opinion to you? I don't want to give you my opinion. We don't preach with words of wisdom, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish what? What is it? What is preaching to the lost? Foolishness. Isn't it evident? Isn't it clear? Look around you. Isn't it clear? They don't care for this. Why? Listen, why they don't care? Because they're perishing. I could be saved and not go to church. Nope. I don't know. Don't give me that. No. Like I told you, when God gives life, He gives what? He gives fruit, doesn't He? And fruit of this is love. And love desires to be with those that they love, don't you? Isn't that right? Don't you desire to be around those you love? Of course you do. And so we preach the gospel because this is the means. Look, He said, them that perish foolishness. But to us, what is this gospel to us? To us who are saved, what do we know about it? We know this, it's the power of God. One day, I'm telling you what, this gospel to me when I was lost was the worst thing in the world. It was the most useless waste of time to me in the world. But when it came in power and demonstration of the Spirit, I knew this. This was the only way I could know Him. He revealed Himself through the preaching of this gospel to me. It was powerful. And I don't mean some emotional, overwhelming experience. That's not what I'm talking about. Not like lightning coming down or anything like that. I knew this. When God pulled the scales off my eyes, I knew this. Either I changed or the world changed, but something changed. And I knew this more than anything else. I needed Him more than anything else. I had to have Him or I'd die. I knew that. This was done to the power of the gospel. To us is the power. Now look at verse 21. For after the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. You're not going to know God by academic means. Listen, we can go. I can sit up here and teach TULIP all day long. Total depravity, unconditional election, limited atonement, irresistible grace, perseverance, preservation. We can academic, systematically go through this, and you can academically understand everything that I'm saying in such a way that's not salvation. There are many Calvinists that will die in their sins. Why? Because they believe their knowledge saves them. They don't know anything at all about the Savior. Now listen, when you know Him, all that stuff falls right into place. You tell me man's totally depraved? Well, yeah, of course he is. How do you know that? I know Him. God unconditionally chose a people for Himself. How do you know that? Well, I know Him. That's right, because I know Him. I know that death that Christ made was so perfect
Yet it was limited to the ones that God chose. I know that.
Not a big deal. I know him. And when that is irresistible grace, don't you know that? Well, of course you do. When he came to me, it was totally irresistible. No way. I was going to overcome him. And I know this. Everyone he saves is going to keep.
How do you know all that? I know him. I know him because when the gospel was preached, it was preached in power and demonstration of his spirit. He revealed himself to me.
Can't do that by the wisdom of the world. For the world by wisdom knew not God. Listen, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Why do we preach? Listen to these words. It pleased God. Why preaching? Listen to me. It pleased God. I don't need any other reason, do you? It pleased God. Now, it pleased God for a very specific reason. Listen to this. Why preaching? Look at verse 29. That no flesh should glory in his presence. Not the preacher and not the hearer. See, there's no power in the preacher. There's no power in the preacher. Listen to this. There's no power in the hearer. Yet this is the means that God chose so that neither one of us get glory. See, God takes a sinner, saves him, gives him the gospel, tells him to communicate it to you, and somehow in a great power of the Spirit, he gives life by that message. So that no one would... Now the importance of preaching. Now listen, the importance of preaching in this generation cannot be overstated. The importance of preaching cannot be overstated because this generation has deemed it unnecessary and outdated. Thankful for this. I'm thankful that we have means by which we can preach the gospel and it goes out into all over the world. That's good. But I'll tell you, there is nothing in the world like sitting in a congregation among God's saints when Christ is present with us when the gospel's preached. Listen, if you can't do anything else, this is great. But I'll tell you this, if you have any breath in your body and power in your body to get up and go, you should. Because why? Listen to what our Lord said about preaching. He said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am. Now, I'm at a loss for words because I know Christ has a body. And I know he's sitting on the throne of heaven. Yet I know this, he's right here with us. Every time his word is preached, he's with us. He's with us. Preaching is necessary. This generation is just outdated. It's nothing more in this generation than good for storytelling and motivation. Go to a modern church and what you're going to find is a storyteller or you're going to find some motivational speaker. What you're not going to find is a gospel preacher. Listen, preaching of the gospel is the only means. Why? It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. See, men will not come to Christ by themselves. They're not going to wake up one day and see a vision. They're not going to wake up one day and just, oh, an epiphany. Not how it works. Why? It pleased God. That's why it doesn't work that way. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching. Now, God had used many of these things in time past, visions and so forth. But now that Christ has come, there is no need for these things. He has sent forth his messages in the world to call out his elect people. Now, listen, I've seen this. I've seen men with these overwhelming epiphanies and visions. My brother had one. brother was a lost man, very steeped in the things of this world. And one day he was in a parking lot, and he said, "I saw a light." And he gave up all of that evil. Overnight, he wouldn't drink, wouldn't do any of that, and started going to the worship service. We were all excited. I wanted him to know Christ. I did. Even though his story didn't sound, there was alarm bells going off in my head, but I ignored that because I wanted my brother to be saved. You know the story then. It didn't last long. What does the scripture say? As a dog returneth to his vomit. It's what a lost man, when he gets religion, it only lasts for a little while. Why? Because he wasn't taught of God. Trusted in a vision he'd seen. This is not how God saves his people. He saves them through the preaching of the gospel. I think of that Ethiopian eunuch. How was he taught of God? How was he taught of God? You listen, this man, he knew something. Ethiopia at that time was very wealthy. Candace, the queen. And he was a eunuch in that service to the queen. And he had wealth and riches and power. And what he did is he traveled from Ethiopia all the way to Jerusalem to try to learn the truth. He couldn't understand this book he had. He had the book of Isaiah. I don't know what other book he had, but he had that one. And he went all the way to Jerusalem, went through all their rituals, all their ceremonies. And he went back home the same way that he came, lost, not understanding, couldn't understand it. So on his way back in the middle of the desert, he's reading the book of Isaiah, and there come a man. Just so happened, right? Just what a coincidence. You found this chariot in the desert. You got a preacher come. No, God sent Philip. He said, "Go on up there to that chariot." And Philip went up there, and he's listening, and he heard him reading the book of Isaiah. And he looked in that chair, and he says, "Do you know what you're reading?" And the man said, "How can I unless some man come and explain it to me?" And Philip said, and Scripture says, and Philip, beginning at the place where he was, preached to him Jesus. You read this book, you turn anywhere, and I'll preach to you Jesus. Why? Because this book's about Jesus. It's about Jesus Christ. And you know what that man? He believed. And he said, "Hey, what hinders me to be baptized?" He said, "Well, if you believe with all your heart, you may." He said, "Hey, there's some water, let's get that." And he immediately went down and was baptized and never saw Philip again, didn't care. He was saved. The Lord sent that man to preach him the gospel. This is how men are taught of God. They're taught of God through the preaching of the gospel. Now then, the second thing I want you to know about this, the preaching of the gospel is not just the calling of the lost. God said this about his lost, about his people. He has an elect people, and I don't know where they are. I know that they're out there. He said, "Say you to the north, give up, and the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from afar." And you know what God's going to do? He's going to call everyone he chose. Everyone Christ purchased with his blood, he's going to call them. He's going to send a preacher to them. And they're going to hear at the appointed time. And they're going to believe on him. Now then, that you have believed. Well, now I've believed, I guess I don't need preaching anymore. Right? No. Preaching is not just for calling the lost, but is encouraging the saved. You that believe, do you need encouragement? Are you not surrounded by enemies? Are you not troubled on every side? Man, I need comfort. I need encouragement. I need strength to make it through the day. What gives me this? It is the Word of God that gives us this. The preaching of the gospel is for the encouragement of the saints. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. I know I'm gonna quit. I told you I'm never gonna get through this. I just got to the first three words. Go to Ephesians and look at verse 4. I mean, look at chapter 4. Chapter 4 and verse 8. He said, "Wherefore he saith, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men." When Christ ascended on high, what did he do? He led captivity captive. He saved his people. He saved them. And then what? He gave gifts unto men. Now what did he give? Look at verse 11. Here's the gifts. He gave some apostles. These are the ones who wrote the books that we have before us. It's a very specific office they had. They were intimately acquainted with the Lord Jesus personally. They saw him bodily as he lived. They saw him bodily when he died. They saw him bodily when he resurrected. They're the apostles. He gave those gifts to those men. And some prophets. These were men who confirmed the gospel, like Philip. Philip and others had many prophetic gifts of the Spirit. And then he had some evangelists, some establishing these churches. And listen to this one, and some pastors and teachers. Pastors and teachers, notice "and" is not in the middle. He gave some apostles and some prophets and some. See the word "some" in between those? That's a division. But he didn't say he gave some pastors and some teachers. Pastor, teachers, same thing. Same office. For what? Verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the maturing. You believers, are you done growing? You've reached the pinnacle of growth and you don't need anymore. No, we got to grow. As long as we live, we're going to need to grow. For the work of the ministry, for what? The service of the saints. What are preachers sent for? Serve. Serve. We serve you. The gospel. We serve you for the edifying of the body of Christ, for the encouragement, for the comfort, for the joy, for the peace in the midst of this painful and turbulent life. And how long do we do this? Till we all come in the unity of faith, till everyone's brought in. You know how I got to keep doing? You know why we got to keep doing this? Because they ain't all brought in yet. When they're all brought in, everybody's going to know. How do you know when everybody's brought in? What's the telltale sign that everybody's brought in? Christ comes. When Christ comes back, we know this. It's over. No more. There's no more to be saved. This is it. When he comes, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. In other words, when all that Christ promised and fulfilled is done, unto the measure, the stature of the fullness of Christ. So now that you've been taught of the Holy Spirit through the preaching of the gospel, Paul sets forth in this attitude of you who walk by faith. Listen to this. Have you been taught? Have you been taught? Who taught you? You know who taught me? The same one that taught you. You know what he taught me? He taught me the same thing he taught you. Is there any reason then we should elevate ourselves above one another? Any reason?
I didn't earn his teaching. I didn't learn it on my own. He taught me. How'd he do it? He sent a man to preach to me the gospel. And by the power of his Spirit, I learned.
I learned who I am, a sinner. I learned who he is. He is my Savior. And this preaching of the gospel is something that is needful for us. I need to be reminded. I can ask you this. You know, we've been going through Galatians since January. How much do you remember? We forget easily. So we need to be reminded. Reminded. Not when I stand up here and preach to you, I'm not here to tell you anything new and exciting. I tell you it's exciting, but it's not new. It's not new. I tell you the same things. It's safe for you that I tell you the same thing. I don't deliver political advice. I don't care. I don't deliver any of the modern news or what's going on. I preach Christ. I preach Christ. Because I know that this is the means God chooses to both save and comfort. To cause you to grow, to be encouraged and strengthened. And now then, listen what he says. Let us who are taught what? Communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. I think we'll deal with that next time. I'm just going to have to stop. Well, I was true to my word. I must be some kind of prophet, right? No, I just think I know myself. So, I think we'll pick up from there concerning giving on the Lord's Day, if the Lord's willing. Now, I did think I'd make it past that, but I didn't. I didn't know I'd end up short. Boy, man! I was telling Terrence, sometimes I get up here, I don't want to leave. I know you want to go, but I don't. I love these things. I need them as much as you do. They are more than my necessary food. To hear of His great love, of His great mercy, that He taught me. Does this not humble us? Does this not abase us? It should. And when we are abased, it is then we're able to come alongside someone else who's abased and love them, care for them, even as Christ has done for us. Stand, be dismissed in prayer. Lynn, dismiss us, please.